This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
David Kirby is an investigative journalist, an award-winning investigative journalist, and a best-selling author. He is online at evidenceofharm.com. We are honored to welcome him back to the program. David, good afternoon.
Hey, Coy, how are you?
I'm fine. Is it as hot in New York as it is down here?
It's pretty sticky. It's not comfortable, no.
Yeah, well, New York's not a fun place to be in the middle of the summer.
Not always. I think I'd rather be where you are.
Yeah, well, it's 92 down here, so it's not that much better. David, get us up to speed now with what's going on, with what we're learning. And we just it seems like every week something new comes out that helps to inform us about this and understand this debate more and more evidence now linking poisons in vaccines and food in the air with autism. What did we learn recently? What was the big headline recently that you wrote about for the Huffington Post?
Well, what I wrote about was sort of a look back at this database that the CDC has used to determine that there is no link between thimerosal and autism, thimerosal being the mercury, preservative that they have put in vaccines. The CDC's handling of this data has come under question by members of Congress. A special panel of the Institute of Medicine was appointed to look at their handling of the data. They came back with a very negative report saying that it was not handled with transparency, and in fact, the original data sets that the government used have gone missing. They were lost or destroyed, and this panel suggested that the CDC staff involved seek legal advice because crimes may have been committed. And then finally, Congress did ask the NIEHS, the National Institutes of Environmental Health Science, to take a look at the database that the CDC was using. They appointed a special panel to sort of go look at what the CDC did and their methodology and the accuracy and the reliability of the database that the CDC used, which virtually no one else on the outside can get in to see, to try to replicate what the CDC did. And, of course, now it would be technically impossible because the original data sets are gone. But anyway, and this panel came back with a report that they were tasked with several things. One was to just look at and evaluate the database itself for its strengths and weaknesses, and then to see how this data might be used going into the future, either for designing better studies or for, say, comparing children who were born more recently and would have received less vaccine or less mercury in their vaccines than kids a few years previous, and compare the two groups and see if there was a difference. And it's a little complicated, but the CDC, Julie Gerberding, essentially wrote back. She just sent a letter to the House Appropriations Committee, a very powerful body. And basically what she did was she concurred with what the NIH panel, the NIEHS panel, if you will, had said in terms of identifying weaknesses and limitations in the database, and that going forward and using this data in so-called ecological studies would not be appropriate and would not be useful. Now, then we get into the question of what's an ecological study, and it really just means basically just looking at data and looking for trends without ever trying to track individual outcomes to individual exposures, and without going back and trying to verify the exposure levels and the actual diagnoses and things like that. So sort of 2 points come out of what Gerberding wrote to Congress. One is that the database that it used, that the CDC used to disprove a link, and this study ended up being the pillar of the major Institute of Medicine report, which also dismissed a link. This database has serious flaws and weaknesses in it. Among them are the fact that it does not take into account prenatal exposures and to mercury, background environmental exposures to mercury. And many scientists have said you can't look at thimerosal in a vacuum. You have to put it in the context of overall total mercury burden, both prenatally and neonatally as an infant. There was also a huge exclusion rate. Initially, About half the children in the study were excluded for various reasons. One quarter of the children were excluded because of certain birth defects or congenital problems or low birth weight or premature birth, etc. And as the NIH panel pointed out, these children might have been even more susceptible to autism, and yet they were eliminated from the study. And there was a gross under-ascertainment of cases. They missed about 3 out of every 4 cases that should have been enrolled at these HMOs.
My guest is David Kirby, best-selling author. He's online at evidenceofharm.com, award-winning investigative journalist. And so, David, if I hear you right, years ago, there was this big study that the Center for Disease Control did, and they looked at all the data, they said, and then they reported back out to the pediatricians that there is absolutely no link. And so when people would go in and ask their pediatrician, I've heard something about a link between vaccines and mercury and vaccines and autism, the pediatrician would say, hey, the CDC did this big study and they found that there's no link, so you can rest assured there's no problem. And we've heard that from, you know, these most of the pediatricians and doctors for years. Well, if I hear you right, what you're saying is just in the last few days, we learned that that study that the CDC did a few years ago it would be an understatement to say that that study is full of problems, and that the director of the CDC, Dr. Julia Gerberding, has herself come out and said, yeah, that study really doesn't hold water.
Well, she didn't exactly say that. And really what she said was using this database going in the future, using it for ecological studies would not be appropriate, and that would be more or less a waste of time. Now, she went out of her way to say that the study that was done, the so-called Verstraten study, was not an ecological study, but it was not a very strictly controlled study, and many of the weaknesses that would apply to an ecological study would also apply to the Verstraten study. And what Gerberding said was, well, all of the studies that we have done are not ecological studies. And she said basically because we do chart reviews, we do neuropsychological follow-up exams with the actual children, and we do parental interviews. Well, that's all great, but in the Verstraten study, there were no neuropsych exams. They talked about it, but they never did it. There were no parental interviews. There were only literally a handful, well, not quite literally, but about 1% of the children had chart reviews done. 99% of the children did not. So there, and that was sort of done at the last minute, almost as a afterthought. And so the point being that, you know, with minimal chart review and no other follow-up, just relying on the data as is, especially since they weren't accounting for things like prenatal exposures and because of all these exclusionary criteria, and also because of the business practices and the coding and diagnostic practices of the various HMOs were not consistent, those are inherent weaknesses in the database that the CDC did not control for.
And this all this database and this information has still never been made available to the public, and now the CDC is saying, yeah, we can't put our hands on that. We don't know what happened to all that information.
Well, again, it was the original data sets, and they have to be separated out from the actual data. The data still exists, but the actual children that were drawn and finally evaluated by Verstraten, we don't know who those kids are anymore.
David, why is it? I guess one of the big questions that a lot of people think is, how come the CDC just doesn't do a study of, you know, a vaccinated population versus an unvaccinated population and answer this question once and for all?
Well, boy, that's a very good question, and it's a complicated answer. When asked that question, Dr. Gerberding actually admitted that it would be a helpful study, it would be helpful data to have, but she said that there simply aren't enough unvaccinated children in this country to do such a study. We know that's not true, and the CDC says it's worried about under-vaccination, so that must mean there are children out there who are not getting vaccinated,
right.
and we know that a lot of homeschoolers don't vaccinate their kids, that a lot of Christian scientists and Scientologists and possibly some of the Amish and chiropractors very often don't vaccinate their children. So there are enough unvaccinated children out there to compare them to vaccinated. Now, yes, if such a study were done and it showed absolutely no difference in any of the outcomes between the two groups, And in fact, one would expect to find out that the vaccinated children were healthier, you would think. That would make this issue go away pretty quickly, I would think. And if the CDC had that data or was able to get that data, I don't see why they wouldn't if they weren't confident that it would exonerate vaccines. Now, at this point, I think such a study should probably be done by a completely independent agency that doesn't have the inherent conflict of monitoring safety and promoting vaccination. There's a bill in Congress to do just that, sponsored by Carolyn Maloney here in New York, and of course, Generation Rescue, the parent group, sponsored a survey, a telephone survey, done by a reliable company, and they basically call parents and ask them about the vaccination history of their children and if they had autism or not. And that survey showed that boys who were vaccinated were twice as likely to have autism. Now, that was not a completely scientific survey, and it was funded by people with an interest in the outcome. It wasn't peer-reviewed, and it wasn't published. But just imagine if such a study were to take place and were to replicate or find similar findings and be peer-reviewed and be published, and there was a headline in a newspaper somewhere that said vaccinated boys are twice as likely to get autism. We would have panic in the streets. And if the government thinks they have a hard time now convincing people to vaccinate their children, imagine we would have a real public health crisis on our hands, I believe.
And that may be part of the reason, I'm, you know, just trying to
by extension, that may be part of the reason.
That the CDC doesn't want to do a study like that.
It's too scary.
Yeah. Well, it's like a trial lawyer. Never ask a question that you don't know how it's going to be answered. They don't really know for sure how it would come out.
I don't know why they're not doing it, but if they did get that kind of result, again, and I can only hope that someone high up in the government is thinking 3, 4, 5 steps ahead and is at least thinking on a contingency basis, even if it's a 1 in 1,000 chance that vaccines are linked or associated with autism in some kids, they better be thinking right now what they're going to tell the American people, not just in terms of an explanation of how this happened, but how do we go forward from here? How do we convince people to vaccinate their kids? How do we educate them? And I think most importantly is how do we identify the susceptible children who might be most at risk for these kinds of problems and vaccinate them differently?
David, I've got about a minute left, but we're talking with David Kirby, evidenceofharm.com. For the folks out there who don't follow this as closely as you and I do.
Yeah,
and are just
kind of insider baseball.
Right, right. They're just sort of interested. What's the takeaway? What do I need to know? You know, my niece is 2 and has vaccines on the horizon, or I've got kids. And what do people need to be aware of and need to know?
Talk to your doctor. If you're nervous about too many vaccines at once, you have every right to ask that they get spread out. You can even spread out the triple combo MMR vaccine if you feel better doing that way. I would say if your child has a bad reaction to a vaccine, you may want to consider, just talk to your doctor about even slowing down further. But definitely vaccinate your children. Never vaccinate a sick child. Don't give a vaccine to a child on antibiotics. If there is a history of autoimmunity or any of those kinds of diseases, certainly if you know of any type of mitochondrial dysfunction, immune dysfunction, family history of such things, I would proceed more cautiously, but I would still definitely vaccinate.
David Kirby is the author of Evidence of Harm, best-selling author and award-winning investigative journalist. You can read his work online and check out his tour schedule at evidenceofharm.com. David, thank you again for all the work that you do, and always look forward to talking to you.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.